Good morning, Christian Fellowship. So glad to see you this morning. Stand to your feet. We're going to worship as all those people are coming in, find their seats. God, we thank you for today. We thank you that we have breath in our lungs to lift up your name, be glorified in our worship today. We thank you for your amazing grace. Amen.
Power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger.
higher than any other name, the one we worship. We speak the name of Jesus, it's more powerful than anything. Jesus over you, in your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation I seek heaven, pray this for you. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. No name is higher. I speak the name.
Introduce a new song this morning that we learned this morning. This song is called Same God. You may have heard it. This song is just reflecting and conveying on the fact that our God, God Almighty, creator of everything, is the same today that he was before the beginning of time. And he is the same forever. His promises are the same. His love for us is the same. The lengths, the depths, the breadth of what he is willing to go for us, for his children, are the same. There's not a person in here that doesn't rely on God. Whether, if this is your first time ever in church, you don't know it, but you're not here without God. There is no difference. God does not change. We change. Our circumstances change. Who he is and his love for us do not change. We can call on him no matter what we are going through, no matter where we're at, no matter what life looks like, on the mountaintops or in the deepest valleys. We call on him. He is the same. Amen. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the oceans. And I need you now to do the same thing.
You are the same God. You ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness.
On your faithfulness.
One more time.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you. Standing on your faithfulness,
on your faithfulness.
God, as we take a moment to consider that the God that we sing to today, the God that we pray to on our most joyous days, on our darkest days, Lord, when our praise, when our prayers reach heaven, we are reaching the ears and the heart of the same God that Adam prayed to and walked with, the same God that Abraham was called out by, the same God that raised up Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, that led the Israelites out of slavery, the God who protected David on the battlefield, the God who spoke through his prophets, the God who sent his son, who built his church and has sustained it and will sustain it and will keep it, the God who set the world in motion, Lord. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward today, just as they're coming up, just to continue to take a moment to consider that we are in the presence of the same God that we read about in his word. The same God who has been writing his story since before the world began and sent his son and writes us, his people, into his story. The same God that we will be with forever, Lord. We worship you today. We praise you. We lift you up, God, with our songs, with our prayers, with our giving, Lord. We worship you and we recognize that you are the same yesterday. You are the same today and you will be the same forevermore. And we will be with you to behold that. It's in your name we pray today, God. Church says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Good morning. Our ushers are going to go ahead and move back. We're going to continue our worshiping with giving as we always do. I want to thank you for being part of what we're able to do here and in the community through your giving. If you are a guest today, I want to welcome you. Thank you for being here. This is a normal part of worship for us as we continue to worship God with a portion of what he has given us to just continue his work in our church, with the ministries here, men's, women's, children, youth, everything going on, the things going on throughout the week now, and just in the community as well. So thank you for that. If you are a guest today, we do not want you to feel obligated to give, as we do that as part of our church family. You're certainly welcome to give. We won't stop you either. We won't stop you. But please don't feel obligated to do that. This is a part of our worship as a church family we want to continue to do. So we welcome you today. If you are a guest, we'd love to be able to connect with you today, either by you dropping one of our New Here cards, either in the bucket or in the box that you'll find near the sanctuary entrance today. Or you can stop by our table on the way out and just give us a chance to give you a gift and know that you are here and connect with you. We are thankful that you chose to be with us here today. That's a pretty good new song for learning this morning, huh? You guys love that? We are really, really blessed with just the gifts that God has given us up here during worship time, aren't we? And thankful for that, and thankful for having people who use their gifts here. Thankful for the people who are using their gifts with the children right now, which is a very different scene. but still very, 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 very vital and important. Glad to see them this morning. Glad to see things happening. We had our first MOPS meeting this week. Took place. The Mothers of Preschoolers, our new community ministry, that happened this week. BSF is rolling during the week now. Community groups, and so it's hopping around 3410, and that is fantastic, fantastic. So just want to, again, thank you for that. Thank you for being here this morning. We do have an announcement video this week, so you will not have to endure me again. Bless you guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. God bless you guys. We'll see the video, and then Pastor Corey will be up.
What's up, CF Paris? We are so excited that you're here with us today. We just have a few announcements for you, so here we go.
First up, guys, this facility is being used almost the entire week now. On Thursdays, we have BSF that meets here. They use almost every room. They've added a children's program this year. On Monday nights, we have Young Lives. They meet here. And on this past Friday, we had our first PTX MOPS meeting, and we had 17 mamas show up. So we are so excited that we have a facility that can host all of these different amazing ministries.
Next, if you were here last week, you'll remember Pastor Corey talking about the need for volunteers. We would love for you to come alongside of us, join the team, and serve our church community. Now, we've got a few different ways that you can do this. There's a card in the seat right in front of you. If you pull that card out, there's a Serve Here form there that you can fill out. There's also a QR code on there if you want to scan it with your phone, and you can have a digital form of that Serve Here card. You can also go on our website or on our app, and there is a location on there where you can find the Serve Here form. So please think about serving at in our church and filling out one of those forms. If you're not really sure where you want to serve, you can also reach out to Brandon Farr, and he will help you kind of guide you into the right position to serve at our church. Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. And lastly, CF Women. Tracy Daughtry is going to be doing another three-week Bible study starting on the first Thursday of October. So it'll be the first, second, and third Thursday evenings of October. You can get signed up online, or you can go out in the lobby right now. There's papers. Get signed up. You don't want to miss it. They are amazing. I think that's it.
That's it.
Pastor Corey's Pastor coming Corey. Up.
The best part of my Sundays are as I'm frantically running up here, and from behind me I hear this small, still voice. Turn it on. Thank you. It takes a village, to which my staff would highly agree. But guys, it does. It does take a village. And look, we need your help. Showing up to church on Sunday is not what Christianity is about. It's about you and I coming together as the body of Christ. It's recognizing the church is you outside of this building, and that every opportunity you have, every person you run into, is just an opportunity to be involved. That's who we are. That's what 3410 is. CF Paris, we meet here at 3410. It's very easy to start recognizing a building as a church. But this building is so much bigger than just what we do on Sunday mornings. Granted, God is the biggest, but God doesn't just show up on Sunday mornings. If you think that's the only place you meet him, I want to introduce him to you today. Look, it's so much bigger than that. It's a relationship. And this building is our opportunity to reach the community, to reach the unchurched. We talked about it months, but even before my sabbatical, Pastor Brandon figured out the amount of people that are currently unchurched just within our Lamar County area. We did the math and figured out the average church size, how many churches there are, population of Paris, and there was over 100,000 people that are unchurched. That sounds like an exorbitant number when you think that Paris itself is only 20-something thousand people. But including the surrounding areas, when we started just looking at how many people are unchurched, the numbers are just staggering. So we're not a mega church. Look, some people don't come here because we're a mega church, and you can get lost in a mega church. Your involvement, you're getting together in community groups, that's what keeps us from getting lost. That's right. We're not a mega church. And as soon as our mentality goes there, we lose the opportunity to reach anybody in this community. We're not looking to steal people from other churches. We're looking to bless other churches because, again, we can't hold them all. We can't hold them all. There's too many. That's the beauty. One of the ministries that we here at CF Paris have been able to partner with is seeing Greg Key, our pastor G, as he's been starting a ministry called Common Table. Common Table is just a ministry to pastors here in the Lamar County area. The ability to connect the dots, if you will. Pastors have a tendency to pour themselves out on a Sunday and then be needed on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and never really get poured back into. Granted, they love walking down off the stage after a service and the people that come up and, you know, usually the sweetest of old ladies that comes up and gives you a hug and tells you how awesome you are. We relish those moments. But you know, because every single one of us does it. We give and we give and we give and we give, and a lot of times we forget just to receive from God. Common Table is, I say Common Table, you and I, this Thursday, we get to host Tony Evans as he comes here. This whole room will be cleared out. We're going to have tables set out, and invitations have been given to every pastor in all of Lamar County. And as of present, there's over 160 people, something like that, 160 pastors coming that we get to bless. It's going to be a dinner that is being hosted by a restaurant here in town, Harlem Nights. They're going to be bringing in the food. Tony Evans is coming and going to be sharing, just sharing his heart to pastors. We need your help. We need your help. Look, this is an opportunity. I'm not going to like butter the top of this and say we want you to have a front row seat. That's not what I'm saying. We need dishwashers. We need people that just want to help. We need people that just want to be here in a servant's heart that want to bless the pastors of Lamar County. If you can, if you'd like to be involved in that way, Pastor G is going to be available after service. He wants to chat with you. We just need people that can help out. We've got a lot of other help, Young Life, they've got a lot of young kids coming. So we also need just adults that can oversee young kids that are helping out. The opportunity is there. The other opportunity we have, and I've had people that have approached me on this, and so I want to present it as well, is the opportunity just to cover the cost. At the moment, CF Paris, as the main people that meet under 3410, wanted to put this on for the community. And so I'd love your help, those who want to be involved. In fact, I'm going to do something real quick. As I'm beginning my actual message and I hear a big, what? It all ties together. You're going to hear he's the same God. It's all tied together. Hold on. But I'm going to call my ushers forward real quick. I want to take up just a special offering. Every penny that we take up right now, this is going to go directly to putting on this event. Roughly, we're at an expense of somewhere just under $10,000 to put this on, free of charge for all the pastors here in this area. If you want to be involved in this manner, thank you. But as well, I cannot like share my heart enough. We do need help on Thursday night. We need people that want to just be a part of what God is doing in the community. It's not a part of CF Paris. It's a part of what God is doing through us at 3410, this building that God is using to bless this community, because God is using you, his church, to bless this community. God, I thank you for what you're taking right here, Lord God, what we are giving back to you, Lord God. I thank you for not what you're taking, Lord God, but from what we are freely giving, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to feed and to bless the pastors in Lamar County, to pour out into individuals, Lord God, those pastors who give their heart, give their time, Lord God, to people, that they would be refilled, that they would be replenished, that they would be nourished in such a manner, Lord God, as to build relationships that help them restore relationships. Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing through this community, through 3410, through this building that we get to use. Lord God, I'm thankful for all that you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to jump right in here. So we sang this new song, Same God. And this song was a song that I couldn't count how many times I played over and over and over again during our sabbatical. Melissa and myself were blessed by you guys. We got to take a sabbatical and just take time. And with everything, anytime you try and, like, really just seek God, anytime you just try and draw closer to God, the enemy wants to stop you. We experience hurt. We experience pain. We experience difficulties. I'm going to talk about that next week. I'm actually titling my message next week, Same God, but I can promise as I tell you I'm titling it or I'm keeping it in the title, your mind's probably already drifting to a place that I don't think we recognize or realize just how simple, how easy faith is. And the reason we don't is because faith is difficult. Look, that's where you go, excuse me, what? That didn't even make sense. I want to start, as we continue our Rise Up series, I want to get into some of the just practical applications of faith. Some of the simplicity of faith, but even in the simplicity, I wonder how many people will miss it. To kick off today, I want to title today's message, Living Rested in an Exhausting World. Living Rested in an Exhausting World. And today, I really do, I want to lay just some practical application regarding walking in faith. Who's willing to admit that they've ever felt like there's just too many things to do and not enough time to do them? I recently read a Harvard business study that said they did this, the research. They said that 7 out of 10 people currently feel too busy. Like there's too much on their plate, like they've got too much going on, like they feel exhausted. And to that, I laughed, and I said, 10 out of 10 of the last people I talked to. When asked, hey, how are you doing? The first thing that comes out of their mouth is, I'm busy. Just busy. I mean, we play it off. How you doing? Oh, you know it, just busy. We're busy. So because of that, I want to read a scripture here. In Matthew 11, in fact, do this with me, Will, if you will. Let's all stand. Let's read Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Bow your heads real quickly with me. Lord God, I pray right now for rest, for peace, Lord God, for the stillness of your presence. Not the excitement necessarily, Lord Jesus, but right now, just the understanding that you are with us. I pray, Father, right now that you would even break down the simplicity of this message. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear what you want to share. It's in your name that I pray, amen. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. These words can, quite honestly, be confusing. There's a conundrum immediately when I read this passage. Jesus talking to those who are busy, so all of us that raised our hand, and the liars that didn't. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's okay. Jesus says this to all who are busy. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Again, who feels weary or burdened? Right? I mean, come on, help me out. Who feels weary or burdened? A good few of us. God, there are some liars in this room. I don't know how you grew up, what church you grew up, but if I'm asking if, like, you're weary or burdened, and you are weary or burdened, it is okay to say, I am weary and burdened. We're in church, and we'll be church-like and proper, but if I ask, it's okay. We feel weary and burdened. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus continues, says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That sounds like what I need. I mean, can I get an amen? Sounds like what I need. It's just a problem. There's just one problem, and that problem is I am following him. I am following him, but typically I feel everything but rested, but easy, and but light. I'm following him, and yet I typically feel everything but rested, easy, or light. And yet Jesus here is, he's offering an alternative, a different way of life. He's offering us the opportunity to live rested in an exhausting world. The opportunity to live rested within an exhausting world. Watch this. I want to jump all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Probability is, regardless of whether you grew up in church or not, you know the creation story. You've heard it. Genesis 1, God says this to us. I'm going to read it to you. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. You read on, and so too go days two, day three, day four, day five. There was evening, there was morning. God created, he saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning. And then on day six, there's a little bit of a change. It says this, Genesis 1, verse 27. It says, so God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then in verse 30, it says, and God saw all that he had made. But it wasn't just good. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Day six. The account of creation. I don't know what translation you prefer. I've had people approach me about translations. Here's something that it doesn't matter what translation you read. You're reading in English and not in Hebrew. All of them don't equate the beauty of the Hebrew language quite the way that we understand or read language. It's just different. It's like watching a movie and reading it in subtitles. You're still getting what they're saying, but a lot of times you're not necessarily getting the emotion with the emotion that you are catching. And so sometimes there's just parts that we don't necessarily catch the rhythm or the rhyme. The Hebrew language, they wrote a lot with meaning. But the meaning also involved poetry. There was rhythm and rhyme. There was sequence. There was pattern. And this pattern created this momentum, this idea, this fallback, this repetition even. Because repetition simply brings you back to something that's important. And throughout Genesis 1, even in English, as we read, we can sense that there's rhythm, there's repetition. Rhythm and repetition showing what is important. Rhythm, repetition show us what's important. You know this. You know this very simply. You pick up your phone, you notice you missed a call from your spouse. Right? You missed a call from your spouse. Pick up the same phone. You missed 10 to 15 calls from your spouse, all of which were in the last 5 minutes. Repetition shows us what's important. We get that. We understand it. And there's repetition throughout Genesis 1 that God created. He saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning. He saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning. Because repetition shows you what's important. He saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning. Evening and then morning. But that's not how the day works. Like you and I both know, the day doesn't ever start in the evening. I mean, for every one of us, predominantly, I mean, it starts in the morning. We wake up with the alarm clock. We hit it, whether we hit it once, twice, three times, or don't hit it at all. Some of you are, wow, very disciplined. Some of you are not disciplined at all and just let 20 alarms go off. But either way, we get up in the morning, we shower, we dress, we eat, whatever we have to do, and we go to work. And after we've accomplished our day, after we've set aside the goals, the whatever it is we need to finish, then we're allowed to rest. Then we're allowed to take a break. If we manage to finish the work, then we can breathe, we can rest. There's morning and then there's evening. And yet that's not what God says. God says there's evening and then there's morning. I believe that God is introducing an alternative rhythm for our lives. And it's a rhythm that doesn't start with work, but rather a rhythm that starts with rest. Now, immediately up front, this message, this is very easily chalked up to a whatever, Corey, evening, morning, morning, evening, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. Like, I don't really care. I still got to do the same things. But I want you to catch this, because if you were an Israelite reading Genesis 1 for the first time, this meant something to you. This was different. Genesis 1 is God's word given to Moses. Moses was the author of Genesis 1, pinned down. So he takes God's word, he writes it down, and this is Moses whom you and I know the story of. Moses. This is the same Moses who, born in Egypt, grew up in Pharaoh's household, fled, had to run away, but then was called by God to come back to Egypt to deliver the Israelites. Well, why? The Israelites, the Jewish people, had been enslaved by the Egyptians for roughly somewhere around a little over 100 years at that moment. So understand, time frame, timeline-wise, Moses would have penned this somewhere during the period while they were still enslaved toward the end, either that or right after when they're wandering the desert. So the Israelites, hearing God's word for the very first time after over 100 years of slavery, the first people to read Genesis 1 had just managed to walk out of slavery. But as slaves, they built the very empire that enslaved them. As slaves, they built the roads, they built the pyramids, they built the very monuments that the Egyptians held in such esteem. And yet, there wasn't that grandeur in what they did. For the Israelites, what they did is they made bricks. From sunup to sundown, everything that you do is about making bricks. In fact, the only question that really mattered in your life was, how many bricks did you make today? And so in Genesis 1, all of a sudden God, in his message to his people, starts with this rhythm, with this pattern, with this repetition. He says, I'm not Pharaoh, I'm different. Your life is not the life of a slave. Your life is going to be different than the life of a slave. I have a different rhythm for you to live because your value is not found in what you do. Your value is not found in how many bricks you make. And so God is telling his people, your days will not start when the sun rises. Your days will start with rest because your value comes from nothing more than what I say. Your value comes from what I say. And because of that, you can rest. So Genesis 1 is God looking upon his people, saying, look, I created you. I looked upon you from the very beginning of time, before you ever did anything, before you ever made one single brick. I said, not just that you were good, but that you were very good. You were created in my image. And because of that, I have a different rhythm for your life. I have a different rhythm for you to live as my people. And it doesn't start with work. It starts with rest. Why? Why does it not start with work? Well, because to rest is to trust that what God has done is enough. To rest is to trust that what God has done is enough. And because repetition is important, to rest is to trust that what God has done is enough. Look, man, aren't you guys like just beyond excited and glad that here we are 2,000 years later? 2,000 years later, and you and I, by golly, do not have to make bricks for a living. Our lives don't look like that. Through all of our technological advances, because of how far we've come in social progression, today the world's different. Not a one of you has to check your email over the weekend to see if the boss needed you to do one more thing, get one more thing done. We don't open up social media and hang on every single like or dislike to determine how important we are. Today, we do not validate our days by looking at how many things we accomplished and saying, well, I did or I did not, so therefore my day was good. That's not us. We never, never, because we have advanced so far, when meeting somebody new, hey, Bob, what kind of work do you do? We never start with that question. What do you do for a living? How many bricks do you make a day? Better yet, if you've got children, ask them what they want to be when they grow up. In all probability, they won't necessarily tell you about the company they want to start. Rather, they'll tell you about the person. Because that person makes the most bricks. That person, we elevate high. We like that. Whoa. So maybe we still live with the mentality of how many bricks did I make today? And you see, and therein lies the problem. Therein lies the very issue, because it's exhausting. It's exhausting because the truth is you'll never make enough. You'll never make enough. And what's worse, what's sadly worse, is it's no longer Pharaoh who's forcing us to make bricks. We get caught up in what we think we need. Every day we push ourselves to make more bricks. And yet, here's Jesus saying to us, I have a better way to live than this. And that better way is we're going to put our bricks down and start our day with rest. Because to rest is to trust that what God has done is already enough. I want to jump over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 depicts this beautiful, amazing moment. I've preached numerous times on this section. And it says this. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." In Scripture, this is one of three times that we read God the Father audibly speaking. It's this beautiful Father-Son moment. I mean, there's so many different beautiful aspects you can look into at this passage. But what makes this story just that much more powerful is where it is in the gospel. Where it is in the gospel. This is Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 1 and 2 is the recording of the birth of Christ. So Matthew chapter 3 is the very first instance we see Jesus as an adult. And God the Father says to God the Son, "You are my Son, whom I love, and I'm well pleased. I delight in you." Saying all that before Jesus ever did anything. God the Father delighted in Jesus the Son before Jesus the Son ever did one thing. One miracle, before he ever gave his life, God the Father delighted in the Son. Why? Well, Scripture tells us, because God loved him. But listen to that. It's because God loved him. Not God loved him because, simply because God loved him. You see, if you're in Christ and if you're a follower of Jesus, the same then is true for you, true for me. God loves you. Not he loves you because, but simply, he loves you. So what does that mean? That means that what God has done for us, what God has already done for us, is so much more important than any to-do list you create. God's done list is more important than your to-do list. If you're a follower of Christ, before you ever even get out of bed in the morning, here's a little bit of what God has already done. God created you. Scripture says he looked upon you from before the beginning of time, before you ever did a single thing, and he said that you were not just good, but very good. He saved you. God sent his son, went to the cross to pay a payment that you know you couldn't pay. So he created you. God saved you. Before you ever did anything, he healed you. He adopted you. He comforts you. He called you. He gifted you. Scripture tells us that he goes before you, that he is with you. That's just a little bit of his done list. He's already done it. What he's done for you is so much more important than any to-do list you create. Which means this. Because of God's done list, you and I have the ability to put down our to-do list, if even for a minute, to rest, trusting that what he's done is enough. Before you've ever done anything, God says, I have a different rhythm for your life. It's not a rhythm that starts with work. It's a rhythm that starts with rest. Why? Because simply, I want you, I want my people to know before you ever get out of bed in the morning that I've already done enough for you. His done list is so much more important than your to-do list. Now, I'm going to invite the band up. But as I close, I need to leave you with a caveat. I want to be really clear. This message is not an anti-work message. Wouldn't it be nice? God offers a new rhythm for those who are his children. And it starts in the evening, yes, but then it goes into the morning. It starts with rest and then goes into work. Rest is what prepares us for work. In fact, Scripture even says that God created us for it. He created us for good works. He's gifted us for it. And we said it before, part of God's done list is he's called each and every one of us to a purpose. So we know that God has called us to it. So this is not an anti-work message. I think a lot of times we tend to think that rest and work are enemies, like they don't get along. But on the contrary, rest is needed for work. They're meant to be together. It's just that when we do go to work in the morning, as we go to work in the morning, you and I don't go to work as people who are trying to earn someone's approval. But rather, we go to work just trying to prove to ourselves that our value is not found in our work. You and I, we have a tendency. We go to work and we look for value in the approval, in the things, in the paycheck, in the end. It's, did I make enough bricks? But we have the opportunity to approach it from just a little bit of a different perspective. It's resting in what God has already done for you. You see, rest simply focuses you on the goodness of God. Hear this. Rest focuses you on the goodness of God. On the sixth day in creation, we read, that God looked upon his creation and declared that everything was good. Day seven, he enjoyed the goodness of his creation. Rest is whatever focuses you on the goodness of God. This song, same God, that I'm gonna turn over to the band and we're gonna close out with. This is a song that, yeah, I had on repeat throughout my whole sabbatical. There were moments of elation, moments where I felt fulfilled, moments where I felt on top of the world. And I could stand on same God, proudly rejoicing. There were as well moments of complete deflation, emptiness, hurt, longing, just crying out. And in those moments, I could play this song. And it was a heart cry. There's a beauty to understanding that God is the same God. And there's a simplicity as well to understanding that God is the same God. But that's faith. It's a simple seed. It doesn't have to be what you make it. So yes, rest is sleep. I think we immediately go there. Our minds go there. Absolutely. You need sleep. But rest is so much more than even just sleep. Rest is whatever focuses you on the goodness of God. So rest can be a worship song that focuses us on the goodness of God. Rest can be a meal with people we love. Rest can be spending time in God's word. It can be prayer. It can be moments of relationship. But it also can be laughing with friends, playing games or sport. Be a walk in the outdoors, but whatever it is, it's being reminded of the goodness of God. Resting in what he's done is enough. You see, when Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest," what he's doing is he's giving us an invitation to a different rhythm, a different way of life. It's a way that doesn't start with work, but rather starts with rest. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord God, I pray again, Lord Jesus, as we prepare to worship, I pray, Father, that even in the simplicity of this message, that we wouldn't get lost and we would recognize, Lord God, that you've created a different pattern, a different rhythm. One, Lord God, that doesn't mean we have to wake up and produce, but rather that we can rest and recognize. Being built up, being refreshed, being edified, being set up, Lord God, to be able to then go out into the world and show the people that we work with, that we live with, that there is something so much bigger. God, may your name be glorified through our praise. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Would you stand as we get ready to release? I want to go through this song just one more time and just reflect on how good God is. Yeah, I believe that the more that we understand about God, the less what we're up against is going to matter in our mind. Because when Moses came to the Red Sea, he didn't freak out because he wasn't a boat maker and he couldn't make a way. God made a way. God parted the Red Sea and let him walk across on dry ground. David didn't panic because he wasn't a trained soldier. God made a way. The faith that he had to defeat Goliath is the same God that they relied on back then is who we rely on now. Thank you, God. Thank you. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to